across the metaverse, across the entertainment usage of games, across the enterprise usage of games, I have never seen such an uptick of interest of just gaming in general, which just leads me to believe one thing, that this thing is, it's not going away. It's going to grow, it's going to explode, and we're finally at the moment in time where for any parent who really wondered whether their child had a future in gaming, I can tell you absolutely positively, not only do they have a future, support them, because they're about to change the world.
Hey, what's going on? Hope you are well and having a good week as always, enjoying the holidays and some time off. And this is my gift to you, a monster episode of the Welcome to the Metaverse podcast. So this week I chat to Alexander Fernandez, who is the co-founder and CEO of Streamline Media Group. And now, as you'll hear in this episode, they have been making video games for the past 20 years and have worked on some of the biggest titles in the world, like Gears of War, Unreal Tournament, and Final Fantasy 15. And now are heavily involved in building out the future of the metaverse. Last year, they also worked on the hugely successful Balenciaga Fool campaign, which was essentially an entire video game, which we talk about in the show, as well as Alexander's awesome insight into what he thinks 2022 looks like for the metaverse. As he quite rightly says, the future of the metaverse is going to be built in part by people who build video games. So to hear someone with this much experience talk about where this is all going was pretty epic and super valuable. So thank you, Alexander, for doing it. We also talk about what the most sought-after skills are going to be and some major opportunities over the next few months, plus what to do if you want to get involved in the metaverse but are still trying to find your way in this space. Alexander is definitely one of the smartest minds in this space, and there is some absolute gold in this episode, so I know you're going to enjoy this one. This podcast is also sponsored by the awesome Republic Realm, who are a leader in metaverse innovation, investment, and NFTs. Now, their Republic Realm Academy is open for registration. It's a series of online courses about the metaverse and NFTs taught by educators from some of the most prestigious universities in the world alongside top industry professionals in Web3 technologies. So if you want to learn, level up, and be part of the workforce of the future and actually have fun whilst you do that, then this is definitely for you. You'll also get access to their alumni network and career listings as well. And I have an exclusive 15% discount as a listener to this podcast. Choose the code MetaverseLuke when you pay online. You can head to republicrealm.com where you'll see the education tab and the academy there. I'll also leave a direct link and all the info in the show notes. And as always, nothing in this podcast is financial or investment advice. Always do your own research. And with that said, let's get into this week's episode. Alexander, great to have you on the show. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Yeah, good to have you. So yeah, we're going to have an awesome chat over the next few minutes. And I know Streamline Media Group, the company that you're CEO of, have a multiple major brands and a whole load of awesome projects kind of under your umbrella. And from the outside, at least, it seems like you are perfectly placed to be building the future of the metaverse, and particularly with a kind of gamified aspect, which I'm really interested in. So we'll dive into that fully over this chat. But it's always good to kind of start with your story a little bit and maybe some of the major players you've worked with and what you're focused on with the company at the minute.
Yeah, no problem. Again, thanks for having us on here. So I am Alexander Fernandez. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Streamline Media Group. We have been making video games for 20 years. And effectively, about 19 years ago, we saw an opportunity that one day video game technology would be applied in non-gaming fields. We didn't know it would be called the metaverse. We thought it would just be the enterprise usage of video games. And then, basically 19 years later, it actually ended up happening here. During our time from starting our business until now, we worked on over 400 AAA games. Games from Gears of War to Unreal Tournament to Final Fantasy 15 to Street Fighter 5, primarily providing basically all of the resources that are required and the talent required to make games across art, engineering, code, QA, QC, localization, and full product development. That then brought us over to basically helping out effectively this evolving kind of video games industry. And being well positioned to basically take advantage of the metaverse as basically enterprise organizations began to realize that the future of their businesses are running right through the usage of video games and creating of immersive interactive experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an awesome roster of stuff you've done. So it's very, very cool. And are you seeing, when we look to the future of the metaverse, you know, like there's always been this slight distinction, even though video games and gaming is a huge industry, much bigger than some people realize, but it's kind of combining now. And there was always a bit of a separation between gamers in inverted commas and everybody else, right? Like people who might not consider themselves gamers. And those kind of worlds are sort of colliding now with the future of just how we're going to experience the internet. So are you seeing that as well? Is it our clients wanting to have gamified elements to all of their campaigns now and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think the thing is that people got to realize is that, you know, video gamers have always been kind of the rebellious outside group, the people who are basically, I mean, and I include myself. I was a nerd and I'm still a nerd and I'm a proud nerd and I'm a proud gamer. And I basically come from a subculture of people who were the ones that really no one really ever spoke to. Things have changed in this generation. Gen Z has grown up with video games always being there. So they're the first generation that really got the benefit of the fact that gaming was cool. Gaming is tech. Gaming was always awesome. Whereas the ones that came before were kind of the, I guess you could say, the outcasts. What's ended up happening here is that as basically this generation has become the largest basically purchasers of, you know, entertainment, basically consumer products, and that these generations that grew up before them, millennials where I come from, I'm 40 years old, we know that there's a new way to reach audiences, and we understand the authenticity that comes from basically reaching out to niche groups. Basically, games have been fantastic in building communities and very fantastic at monetizing. We're now in a place where brands realize that if you want to be authentic and you want to be real and you want to basically reach the people who really love what you do, gaming is where you make this happen. Now, obviously, gamers don't necessarily want to hear themselves as being a just like everyone else point of view. But the reality is that what we're finding is that everyone has always been a gamer, where you, whether you're playing Sudoku or basically a board game or effectively a mobile game like Candy Crush, you were gaming. And the reality is that everyone on this planet has grown up playing games, whether that was hide and seek, a board game, or a video game. It's just that at this moment in time, we finally have figured out how to leverage people's passion and affinity for games and apply it into other realms of everyday life, whether that's education, commerce, or effectively learning. This is really where we're going right now, and this is what's exciting.
Interesting, for sure. Yeah, we've had this conversation, or I've mentioned it on the show before, of how fundamental kind of games are to humans, right? How we learn, and it's from a really young age. It's, you know, humans love games, so it's like you say, having a moment now where we kind of worked out how to leverage that is really nicely put. Yeah, for sure. Could we talk about some of the projects that you've worked on most recently as well? Because there's been some amazing things you've done. Particularly, I'm thinking about the Balenciaga Fool 21, this whole sort of immersive video game project, which was quite kind of early in all this metaverse stuff, right? It was before it kind of really blew up. So what were some of the things that they were interested in from a sort of digital fashion point of view plus gaming?
Yeah, it's actually very interesting. It was right before, it was December of last year, actually. So it's been about a year when it was released. It was 120 countries over 7 days. We released basically the fall 2021 fashion lineup, effectively integrating it into Unreal and streaming it so that if everyone could enjoy basically their latest creations of Balenciaga and the creative director over there. What's fascinating about this is that this was driven because of COVID. It was driven because of the pandemic and the need to basically communicate and express what was this new product lineup, this new fashion lineup. Now, what was great about this is Demna, the actual creative director, had a vision of bringing everyone into his world and showcasing what exactly he was making, and that really translated perfectly into a video game experience. Now, what then ended up happening after the fact was that the world realized, wait a second, gaming is a great way to be able to bring in a large amount of people, showcase an experience that's compelling, and then at the same time kind of build upon that. So we were really much in the culture before the culture woke up and realized it. What was great about this specifically, though, was the challenge was how do we basically bring people who otherwise haven't necessarily seen themselves as a gamer, let them traverse in this experience, kind of an Alice in Wonderland style type of universe, while at the same time displaying the latest creations of Balenciaga. Now, obviously, the novelty is you're in a game experience, but that can't take away from the product experience or the design experience, which was effectively the fashion. So the idea here was basically to work with high creatives. You know, the Balenciaga team is phenomenal. Their creative is spot on. And what we loved about working with them and our other partners was that it was really high creatives working with high creatives, leveraging technologies that they had never worked for before. And obviously, we're not from fashion. And that mind meld that began to happen when creatives and tech come together and everyone respects that they're at the top of their craft. That is what yielded the Balenciaga project and what effectively showcased to the world just what happens when people come together to work together, utilizing basically a design language and a creative language that can transcend industry. And that effectively is what has created this kind of swelling point now. Now, post that, we've been working on a variety of projects across the spectrum, but also working in the traditional game space, because let's not forget the video games industry itself woke up one day and realized that the rest of the world was looking at it for leadership and saying, hey, listen, what you guys are doing is amazing. Can you please teach us how to do that? And that has just really lit off the entire rest of this kind of metaverse, virtual productions, usage of video games in enterprise spaces. It's phenomenal right now. I mean, really, the game has changed in the past 12 months, where before I would say video games and, you know, maybe get a couple of people saying awesome. Now you say video games, you're like, oh, God, please call me because I need your help.
Yeah, yeah, fascinating, for sure. And what was that experience like to be part of somebody who attended that immersive show? What was that like? Because since then, obviously, there's been this kind of explosion of digital fashion, and we've seen all the artifact news recently and Nike waking up and all this stuff. So, yeah, what was it like kind of for that experience? And that was a really high-end project, so it was kind of setting the tone. So where do you think this is kind of going from now?
Well, I think for the consumer and for the aficionados, they were excited because, you know, they'd never seen anything like this before. And from all of us who were producing it, there was a bit of a trepidation of like, oh God, is this going to work? Because let's be clear, it's not that the metaverse is some brand new concept. I mean, it's been discussed for 30 years. And more importantly, we've had many false starts. It's just that generationally, technologically, creatively, as well as just out of necessity, it all blended together in the year 2020. And then boom, here we are. I think this is something where at this moment in time, we've kind of caught lightning in a bottle. That generational change, that basically digitization of financial assets, the reality that we can work and go anywhere over our computer, this is really what has changed the game. And I think that understanding from, oh God, is it going to work, to, oh, this is working, to the, oh man, we need to move fast, that is really what's become exciting. So there's a feeling of excitement and wonder that really, I haven't felt this since 1993 and 94 when the internet was first starting up, when basically this idea of the World Wide Web was coming. And I think that's really important for all of the listeners out there to understand, is that we're effectively going back to 1994 or 93, and someone is telling you that there's a series of computers hooked up through TCP/IP, and one day you'll shop, one day you'll socialize, one day you'll do communication and work. And at that time, you're like, okay, I don't see how that's going to happen. 30 years later, we're basically about to repeat it again, but it'll happen in 10 years. And that is what's phenomenal. So this Web3 metaverse experience is just super exciting. And please mind, I was a teenager when the internet came out. I mean, I was 13, 14 years old. So to be a part of this as this is being built, it's exciting. And I would be lying if I didn't tell you just how much of a thrill it is to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's a cool time to be alive, isn't it? And to be witnessing it all being built in real time is really exciting, as you say. Another really interesting use case from one of the projects you worked on, I was reading on your website about the BBC broadcast TV stuff across sport, and I saw it in the UK for the Olympics using kind of virtual studios with Unreal Engine. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, because that's a slightly different angle, but is another really important one. And that's a whole another layer of the future that we're going to see more and more of, right?
Yeah. So you're referring to Match of the Day, which...
Is it Match of the Day rather than Olympics?
Match
okay.
Of the Day. Yeah. So we worked on Match of the Day, which is, you know, you correct me. I assume you're from there, but basically it's the longest serving sports program in BBC regarding football.
Yes.
And what was great about this was that it was a fantastic project to be able to sit down and utilize real-time rendering capabilities of Unreal in a production environment. In this case, basically Unreal was used to put in all the stages, all the sets. The only thing that was real were the people and the little table that was in front of them. Everything else was rendered in real time. Now, what this basically has showcased is that there is what is coming to the metaverse, and really what is happening is what we call a unified pipeline, which is effectively leveraging engines like Unreal and Unity in order to create production environments where we are able to create once and basically amortize across multiple formats. Now, that's a really boring accounting term, but I want everyone to understand something. If you can create content one time and then apply that content across multiple areas of your business in terms of basically a video game, a film, an advertisement, effectively a cartoon, you're able to amortize the cost. And at that moment in time, you're able to reduce the cost of production, accelerate the production timeline, while at the same time keeping a consistent quality level. This is the holy grail of production. And for anyone out there who has ever produced anything, be it a video game, a television, a movie, an advertisement, the ability to have high def content and assets available that can easily be pulled across different production channels, I mean, that's a godsend. So this unified pipeline that's coming in order to create the metaverse overall, this is where basically things like Match of the Day and the project with BBC makes so much sense, because ultimately, in the end of the day, what we're doing here is basically creating asset libraries that can be used across anywhere, and we're reducing the content cost, reducing the speed of creation, and accelerating that experience for all the viewers and the end consumer. This is something that I think everyone really needs to pay attention to, because ultimately the most expensive aspect of any production and really of any game or any metaverse are the assets you create. The ability to reduce that cost, amortize across multiple platforms, is going to create a huge boom in content. And really, I think what everyone should be excited for is that, you know, they said, Andreessen Horowitz, they said that, you know, software is going to eat the world. I think content is about to eat the world, because ultimately every brand, every media group, every person is literally a content creator. And this is what that unified pipeline allows us to do so well.
Mm, yeah. And for anyone who's slightly less familiar, could you explain simply kind of what Unreal lets people do and why that is so game-changing? Because the assets you can create now are used, obviously, in games, but also in films and in this scenario as well. And they're so good that I guess it's just completely reducing the costs to produce kind of anything really high quality. Is that what you mean when you talk about the pipeline stuff of it?
Correct. So yeah, that's a good way. I wonked out a little bit. So let me go ahead and take a step back.
No, that's cool.
Unreal is, yeah. Sorry, you're talking to an old production hand here. So let's go ahead and go back to something about this. You have two engine technologies: Unreal Engine, which basically powers Fortnite and like 98% of AAA video games out there, and then you have an engine made by Unity called the Unity Engine, which effectively is a 3D engine. Both are real time, which allows people like myself, video game developers, filmmakers, agencies, to create interactive, immersive universes by leveraging already pre-built tools that can then be modified and can be utilized to create levels, to create and insert characters and animation. Now, what happens in these engines is that you can actually utilize the technology to create a game, an advertisement, a film production, or effectively just an immersive universe. So think of it like this, is that if you were going to basically write your next great novel, you may open up Microsoft Word. And in Microsoft Word, you'd use a template. Or in this case, you'll just write from a blank page. These engines are effectively using a word processor. Now, that's a very simplified way of explaining it. Or another way is saying, imagine that you have Windows and Mac OS. Effectively, what Unity and Unreal are your operating systems of the future that make it possible for you to do real-time rendering, level design, character animations, templating out blueprints out of building out an entire immersive experience, and to get that to market quite quickly. So if we utilize that understanding that these two are operating systems that exist, then users or people like myself or content creators leverage these engines in order to create them, to create new universes or new experiences that we can then release on any format, be it a film, a game, or effectively an online experience. Why this is powerful is that I no longer have to sit down and create an engine every time I want to make something. Or another way of saying this is that I don't have to build a camera every time I want to go make a movie. The camera's already been built, it's been updated, and it's in constant evolution, which means I focus on content creation, or in this case, I focus on the idea. And that's where the power comes in, because ultimately in the end, all my capital, all my creative capability, all of my production goes into what I want to make, not making the tools to then make the production itself. Now, taking a step back, if you look at this from the whole holistic standpoint of what the metaverse has become, the metaverse relies on immersive engines. It relies on immersive interactive content. It relies on game engines, in this case, Unreal and Unity, in order to actually make any of this possible. This is why it's so important that amortization of content comes in, and why it's also important that creatives out there learn how to do this. I will basically go out on a limb and say there will not be a content creator in this world in the next decade that will not know how to use Unreal or Unity, because this is where you're going to be doing the majority of your work. Understanding how to leverage that basically creates new job opportunities, because these engines are going into multiple industries. It's just not the entertainment industry. It's also heavy industry. It's architecture. It's automotive. These engines have gone everywhere, just like Windows went everywhere, Mac OS went everywhere, and people who knew how to use them were able to basically score themselves lucrative jobs, create amazing software products, and basically create the world that we live in today.
Yeah, that is game-changing when you really think about it. And this, that was well said, because you kind of get the idea of the scale of what's about to happen. And I guess maybe it's not a perfect comparison, but it's kind of like when iPhones were introduced, and now, you know, everyone has a camera and everyone can make content. And you know, at one point in time, there was, you know, to be a professional presenter to make content and have access to all that stuff. Suddenly that was kind of decentralized in a way, like put out to everybody, and everyone can now create stuff, and so the level of everything goes up, and it's kind of compounded, isn't it? So I guess that's kind of what will happen with the metaverse and access to these kind of engines. And it's going to be fascinating to see what people build and how quickly this moves as well, because as we know, it's moving at lightning pace. And when you kind of project into the future a little bit, we've seen, you know, it's been an amazing year in so many ways with so much crazy stuff happening, and I think it has gone faster than probably anyone predicted. Do you think it's still going to move at that pace? And also, what are you looking forward to? What's a hypothetical project that you'd love to help bring to life, you know, using these engines and thinking about the future?
Yeah, I think things are going to accelerate at a rapid clip. They're already doing it right now. I think that people really will only begin to realize just how fast things are accelerating when they look in hindsight, right? You got to look at things in months now. It's not even years. And it's just because we're seeing this kind of culmination of compounding knowledge and compounding technology innovations that are now hitting the fact that just from a demographic and consumer behavior perspective, we're reaching this moment where literally it hasn't been since the 1950s, 1960s in advertising, where business, science, art, culture all aligned with finance on equal level to create what effectively was the advertising industry. Or effectively, if you want to go even further back, think of the Industrial Revolution. You want to go even further? Go to the Renaissance. We are literally at that stage. And this is going to happen again, and it will happen so fast. It's really happening at this moment. So in terms of the projects that we're looking at now that we're excited about, they're the ones that are blending basically finance, culture, video games, immersive experiences, and effectively commerce all at the same time. And they're happening right in front of us. So, you know, there's a lot of basically shade people throw out there regarding basically NFTs and blockchain gaming, what they call GameFi. The reality is that we're unlocking potential of people, whether it's through the business models called play to earn or effectively the leveraging of metaverse in order to create new ways of connecting to people. This is all happening. It's being built by video games people. So ultimately, if you take a step back and you think about this, we're creating new GDP by effectively creating a fifth layer on the world that we know today and creating new value by basically allowing people to acquire and build things in a digital space that otherwise wasn't there before. This is a powerful concept because in the end of the day, that is what has led to exploration, what has led to wealth generation in the world we live in. It's what happened when the internet came online. If you think about the value of a website and the value of a platform, we're now taking it to the next step where basically these worlds that are being created and built for brands, for entertainment, and just for education, those also have a value. So we're just finding new ways to create and multiply value across every area of life. What is great about this is that it's now being empowered so that everyday people anywhere in the world will be able to participate. And what I mean by that is this, is that it doesn't matter if you're in the United States, the United Kingdom, or basically in Malaysia, you'll be able to participate. As long as you have an internet connection and a computer with some knowledge, you'll be able to get in there and play. In the Philippines, there's a massive labor force that's effectively making tons of money by playing a game called Axie Infinity, part of a thing called Yield Guild. At the same time, you have people in Malaysia servicing some of the biggest video game developers and publishers in the world. And then here in the States and the UK, you have companies actually creating metaverse. But at the first time ever, we're seeing every aspect of the world, every potential emerging market participate. And this is what's great about it, is that there is no bounds to this. And that is the thing where basically every person effectively becomes a new input, a new creator that really creates new GDP for the countries they live in. That's phenomenal for us. And I think that's great for anyone who wants to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that kind of leads me on to my next question of this new digital workforce and kind of GDP of the future. I think it's a strange concept, but we are kind of looking over the precipice of a whole new digital economy that could and probably will be bigger than the physical economy in the same way that digital products have revolutionized, and the biggest companies in the world now are all, you know, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, all digital products that you can't hold. They are the most highly valued companies in the world. So probably this, you know, is going to happen again, but in the form of the metaverse. So how do you think about the digital economy? Do you see it? Are you really confident in the future that we go to work in the metaverse, in whatever that is, VR or AR or some form of that, and that is where a lot of people are gonna go to work, you know, from home but through a virtual device? Is that the kind of future that you're expecting?
Well, I mean, I look at it this way. We've been telecommuting since the 80s. So let's be clear, the metaverse has always been here. I mean, the metaverse was here the moment we used GPS on our cell phones and Siri telling us to turn left or turn right. That's just an example of technology enabling human capability. I think ultimately where we're going at this moment in time is that there will be people who are earning their income in the metaverse through play to earn. There'll be people that are earning their income building the metaverse through build guilds. There'll be people who are basically making their money on creating the technology that makes it enabling possible. There'll be basically schools that are educating kids remotely and long distance who redefine their business model because they realize, why would I want to service 1,500 kids in my neighborhood when I can service billions of people if I offer my curriculum online? I think ultimately everything that exists in the physical world will have a digital twin. Those digital twins will have to be created by, you know, effectively talented people wherever they want to live. Do I think that we're all going to be sitting inside of our houses with a plug up our head? No. I think that in the end of the day, what we will be doing is creating new areas and new basically spectrums in which monetization can be possible, where society can basically collect, where niche communities can come together. It's nothing more than basically, again, enabling human endeavor. And that is really what technology has always done. But technology follows basically culture. Culture is financed by the finance industry. And usually when you get rich, the first thing you look for is culture. And that ultimately is what's going to benefit first. And then it bleeds into everything else.
Okay, yeah. I agree with everything you're saying here. And I think it's so exciting. And so will the people listening to this podcast. There's also people, and you know, I speak to various people who are skeptical in many ways. And that's good. That's healthy to see the other side of the coin. What do you say to brands now who just aren't sure about this and are still skeptical and still not ready to make the move and that kind of thing? Because it is new and it is in some way scary, like all technology when it changes. But what would you say to a brand who's like, maybe this will happen, we're not sure, we're scared to get involved, just out of interest?
You know, I put it this way. Again, let's go back to 1995 now. Would you believe that your business would be represented by a website? I mean, just think about it for a second. And for a lot of people who were alive back then, the idea that you would have a website representing a business was pretty far-fetched. That I would go to a computer website before I'd actually look at an announcement in a newspaper or before I would actually go visit your physical property. I think the real issue here is that if you're uncertain because you don't have the capabilities internally, that's okay. But it's on you to go learn. It's on you to go find out, or else you will face a disruption that by the time you do realize what's going on, it can be too late. This is not about fear, but it's just about technological progress. The reality is you may not understand, but go ask a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 20-year-old. They'll explain to you what's going on. And viability in business is about seeing past yourself and into 3 to 5 years, 5 to 10 years. That is what every proper strategic planner out there is doing. And really any business person who wants to make sure their business survives, you just have to get on with it and say, you know what, let's go and jump right in.
Yeah, and all the clues are there, aren't they? Like talk about Roblox having 40 million users a day, like the next generation are basically doing it and the numbers don't lie as well. And it's probably just a matter of time where, you know, that filters through and it is happening as we've seen this year.
Well, let's look at it this way. The video games industry is almost a $200 billion industry. When I first started, it was 46 billion. That was 20 years ago. Now we take a step back and we think about basically the size of markets. They're estimating that the actual metaverse value at a minimum is $1.3 trillion. Why? Because it's the actual economy. Now, these are economies of different brands. When we start to basically really go out and look at it, it's multi-trillion dollars. So really, I think people just have to understand something. It's like you may not fully get why anyone would want to buy a digital asset, why anyone would want to spend time in a digital space. But then you just have to ask yourself, 30 years ago, did you have an email address? Did you basically understand why you went to a website? Did you believe in IRC and basically ICQ? Did you see any reason to message people? Did you ever think people would be dating online? All of these things that seem so ridiculous 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, they become real. And the simplest thing is look at the cell phone that's in front of you, your mobile phone. About 14 years ago, this thing didn't even exist. And that's one of the things, especially when you start thinking about smartphones and the iPhone. I mean, come on. 2008, when this thing gets announced, 2009. Before that, we were on Crackberry. Oh, I'm sorry, the Blackberry. And basically just trying to make this thing work. So these are the things that people just have to remember. In their own lifetime, in the last 20 years, they have seen their entire existence upended and changed, not because it was a rude awakening, because progress happens and it happens super quick. This is exactly what's happening in the metaverse.
Yeah, and the opportunity is now, isn't it, to learn and to build and to, yeah, just start moving in this space, I'm sure. On that note, and in no financial way at all, because obviously we're not going to give that advice out, but when you look at the general NFT space at the minute, and there's these bigger trends that you talk about that are super exciting. And yes, I think it's an amazing time to be alive and part of this and in this space. If you're listening now as well, you're in the right place for this future. The NFT space at the minute is amazing and super hyped as well. I'm kind of torn between, this is a moment where, you know, it, like you say, it's once every whatever 100 years or so where all these things kind of come together at the same time and it explodes in a new different direction, versus humans being humans in the same way they always are and get overly greedy and things correct and we're in a very hype moment. So how do you look at that, just from a perspective of it's going to do a similar thing as cryptocurrency has adopted? There's huge hype moments and huge corrections. Do you think there'll be a sort of correction of sorts and it'll go quiet and that's when the real building starts, or how do you kind of think of the next few months in that way?
Well, I think the real building's already here. And basically, you got to decide, are you a tourist or are you a local? And the tourist will leave the moment it gets hard. The local will stay because they realize long-term viability is what's already been established. So I think at this moment in time, where there'll be hype, absolutely. Is there hype now? Absolutely. Is it going to be crazy? It already is. Will there be failure? Yup. But that's just the ride. And if you can't stomach the ride, then wait until it's safe and then realize you're not going to get the reward. Now, that's not to be basically filled with bravado, but it's just to say something. The risks will go and the actual that will come. The rewards will come and they will also go. But ultimately, if you're here to build a business, then you do what makes total sense. You respect the fundamentals. You understand the risks inherent, and then you go after those opportunities. Now, the flip side will basically say this, is that there will always be noise. There's tons of noise in technology. But being from the video games industry, where we destroy ourselves every 3 to 6 months, where basically platforms change every 5 to 7 years, this is just the way it is. I think that what is going to basically be scary for a lot of people is they come from businesses where the disruptions weren't so frequent and they weren't so impactful. Whereas those of us that come from tech and especially gaming, that's just the way it is. It's kill or be killed. And in this revolution that's happening, you have to be always learning. So I think that learning culture, that learning mindset, that abundance mindset is absolutely necessary to play in this space, or else, you know, stay and wait and then pay someone else to help you get there. But I mean, realistically speaking, there's going to be a lot of basically tragic stories, but that just makes it even better. That makes it more dramatic and a lot more fun to play. But people really should understand that these are real risks. They're inherent destruction, inherent value creation, but also you could lose it all. And that's okay, because that's just part of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is just risk reward, isn't it? Like it, as soon as the rewards are obvious, there's less risk there, but there's less reward, right? Because it's obvious and everyone's realized it. And that's, I guess, just the nature of how a new thing gets adopted, really, which, yeah. I like to ask this question to everyone, and especially you, because you're so deeply in this space and really smart about this stuff, obviously. I speak to a lot of people who have kind of realized that this is happening to some degree and are really excited about it and want to get involved, but also then don't know what to do. A lot of brands are like, yeah, we kind of want to do this, or people who are a bit more educated and, you know, maybe from a crypto background, but they don't know how they can get involved in the metaverse. And some of the lands now is out of reach and some of the big NFTs are out of reach. So what would be your advice to someone who really wants to start, you know, doing something in this world, but just isn't quite sure where to move?
So if you're a consumer, I would always tell you, basically get yourself some games to start playing. If you're a brand or you're a decision maker within a brand, have your kids show you what they're doing and start playing with them. That's the first thing. Learn and feel the consumer experience before you start trying to build something for the business. At the same time, basically realize there's going to be tons of charlatans out there that are going to tell you a million different things. You need to find the ones that know actually what they're talking about. And the good thing is that there are resources available for you to go out there and see who knows what they're doing. Most of these people are going to be coming from a video games background, which is going to be already fun because, you know, in video games, people are interesting folk to deal with and to interact with. But I would tell you that it's as simple as understanding you want to know how these things are built. So go out there, read how a video game is made, read how immersive experiences are made, read why the psychology works, read about gamification, learn and trade some crypto, understand how the blockchain is built. But more importantly, I think there's really four concepts you need to accept. That the generational change that is happening with the baby boomers going to basically be out of the picture, leaving millennials, Gen X, Zennials, and Gen Z in control, that's happening. The digitization of financial assets, you have to accept that this stuff is real. Whether you see value in it or not is irrelevant. Other people do. Understand how it works. Excuse me. The next thing I would tell you is basically accept the fact that work from anywhere and really remote work is here to stay. That's not changing. That's not changing the way that is not going to change back to what it used to be, nor is it going to be a situation in which people are going to want to go back to the office. And the last thing more than anything else is realize that the next 2 billion people are coming online from places like Southeast Asia, Latin America, and Africa. They will be contributing, and basically they will also be in this space. And that is going to shift the way things get done and how things are made, which is also an incredible thing. So from a brand perspective, you have to start small. Start playing, turn on a game, play Roblox, play Fortnite, learn how the game is made, go join a local meetup, invest the time to understand what's going on. But then if you, you know, don't have the time but have the cash, you know, tap into the people that are leading this space, go find them and basically ask them to help you and get some consultation. I'm sure you'll get there.
Yeah, good advice for sure. And yeah, I think getting involved is key, isn't it? And just doing it, because I think it all slots into place once you do it. And yeah, even putting on a VR headset, you suddenly have this light switch moment where you're like, oh yeah, we can do anything with this world. And suddenly you get really excited about it and it begins to make sense, which is very cool. Is there any projects that are coming up for you at Streamline that you're able to talk about, or is that all kind of locked up? I'm just interested to see what your...
Yeah, it's locked up. And, you know, that's one of the beautiful things of working in video games. Like, you don't really get to talk about it. And that's what's exciting about the metaverse space, is that you can talk about it when it's time. I'm just super excited for 2022. I got to be honest with you. Across the metaverse, across the entertainment usage of games, across the enterprise usage of games, I have never seen such an uptick of interest of just gaming in general, which just leads me to believe one thing, that this thing is, it's not going away. It's going to grow. It's going to explode. And we're finally at the moment in time where, for any parent who really wondered whether their child had a future in gaming, I can tell you absolutely positively, not only do they have a future, support them, because they're about to change the world. So just be a part of that and make sure that you understand what they're doing, because it's really going to be something that in the end, when you're retiring, you're going to be in the metaverse and they'll probably be your children that built it. So good on you.
Love that. That's going to be the teaser for the show for sure. That's well said. Very cool. All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been a really fascinating chat and appreciate your time on it. Where can we send people to follow yourself and what Streamline are up to and all the awesome work you're doing?
Yeah, no, awesome. You can basically follow me on Twitter at Starvup. You can follow us at Streamline News. You can go to streamline-mediagroup.com. You can also follow our podcast, Video Games Real Talk, where we talk about the business of video games. VGRT.com, at VGRT on Twitter as well. And of course, you know, I think what it comes down to is basically this, is that do not be afraid to learn something that you don't know. If there's one thing I want to leave to everyone listening, is that learning mindset, that willingness to go into uncomfortable places to learn something, that is going to suit you, because the metaverse is brand new. It's the undiscovered country. You got to be prepared to go journey in there and see what there is for you with an open mindset. As long as you keep yourself open and you basically don't put in preconceived notions or bias, you will succeed. So please come join us all over there. Check out our stuff and we'd love to see you in the metaverse.
Love it. And it's a good, fun, welcoming community there as well. So yeah, definitely get involved. Thank you so much, Alexander. Really appreciate that. It was yeah, awesome chat.
Thank you very much, man. Take it easy.
So there you go. I'm sure you'll agree. Some absolute gold in that chat with Alexander Fernandez, CEO and co-founder of Streamline Media Group. An exciting 2022 to come for sure. The metaverse is not slowing down. It's going to be an amazing year. So really excited to carry on this podcast with you on this journey together. And thank you for all your support so far. Really appreciate all the ratings and reviews. Thank you to Republic Realm as well for sponsoring the show. The Republic Realm Academy registration is open now. So if you want to learn and get up to speed on this stuff, I definitely recommend checking that out, republicrealm.com. I'll place the links in the show notes, and you can use Metaverse Luke as a code to get you 15% off enrollment as well. I'd love to hear from you on Twitter. Do say hello at Metaverse Luke, and if you want to follow the NFT drops that I am watching, metaverseluke.substack.com. I do a regular newsletter on there as well. So thank you so much for listening, and I will be back next week with another episode.